Hi there, I'm Jules, and this is module 5 of The Organized Cook. So it's actually a surprise bonus module that wasn't advertised, and it's all about leftover love. I'm a huge fan of leftovers. I'm really excited to dive into this module. So here's what we'll cover in this video. First, we're going to look at the do's and don'ts of keeping leftovers safe. Then we'll look at 3 tricks for leftover ingredients. Then we'll look at 11 clever ideas for leftover meals. And finally, we'll have a quick sneak peek through a summary meal plan that's included with this module. So, so a while ago, I inadvertently sparked some controversy on stone soup. It all started when I suggested that some roast butternut pumpkin would keep in the fridge for a few weeks. One reader commented, "No way would any food be safe to eat after a few weeks in the fridge. Yuck." Which sparked much debate and some disparaging remarks about my food safety knowledge, which, for the record, I do have a degree in food science and I actually majored in microbiology. So yes, I do know my Listeria from my E. coli. But the thing I found most interesting was the observation that different people have different comfort levels around how long leftovers should keep. So I think the most important factor should be whether you feel comfortable eating something or not, not whether it fits some generic guidelines, you know, that someone's putting together, an organization could be putting together, and you're worried about them getting sued. You know, it's up to you. It's up to the individual, I think. So after all, you know how long the food's been stored, how well it was cooked in the first place, you know, whether your fridge is cold enough or if it's a bit dodgy, and you can see if there's any mold growth on the food or if it looks or smells funny. That being said, there are some actions that you can take to make sure your leftovers are as safe as possible. So here's a quick do's and don'ts list to help you adopt food safety best practices in your kitchen. So the do's. So do put leftovers away ASAP. So bacteria love warm environments. So the sooner you refrigerate or freeze your leftovers, the sooner bacterial growth will be slowed and the longer your leftovers will last. It's really simple. Then do cover your food well. So food exposed to the air in your fridge or freezer will dry out surprisingly quickly. This doesn't tend to be a food safety issue as such, but it does make leftovers less appealing. So I always cover with cling wrap, or I transfer my leftovers into a container with airtight lids, or I cover them with foil. I really personally love the glass ones from Pyrex with plastic colored lids, because then your food's actually in touch with glass, not with plastic. And I also recommend, if you're freezing food, make sure that you use proper freezer bags or Ziploc bags to prevent freezer burn, because not all bags are impermeable to the freezer. So then the next do is do trust your instincts. So if something smells funny or it doesn't look the right color or has mold or other nasties growing on it, it's best to trust your senses and throw it out. Do share the love. So it's important to be realistic about how many leftovers you can cope with. Better to send guests home with a little takeaway package than forcing yourself to eat the same leftovers for days. And finally, do properly reheat food again before eating. So just as low temperature is important for minimizing bacterial growth, high temperatures are the best way to kill off any sneaky fellas that have managed to grow. So now we'll move on to the don'ts. So number one there is don't eat anything that feels unsafe. So I still follow my mum's rule. If in doubt, throw it out. If you feel that something is unsafe, there's no point in stressing yourself out or risking your health. Then number two there, don't throw away perfectly good food. So just because food is past some arbitrary guideline of being in the fridge for X days, you don't need to toss it automatically. If you know it's been handled carefully in the refrigerator promptly and then it looks and smells fine, then in all likelihood it will be safe. So don't leave leftovers sitting around at room temperature for long periods of time. So I know I mentioned the opposite of this in the do's, but low temperatures are really important, are really one of the most important parts of keeping food safe. So I really wanted to stress it again. And then finally on the don'ts, don't feel like you always have to obey best before date. So this applies more to packaged food than leftovers, but since we're talking safety and waste, I thought I'd throw it in. And if you'd like to learn more, there's a link in the written notes with the link to an article called My Insider's Guide to Use by Dates, which will fill you in on how they come to be. So now we're going to look at three tricks for leftover ingredients. So one thing I find really annoying are recipes that call for small amounts of perishable ingredients. So you know the type I mean. Recipes that leave you with half a bunch of parsley, a few tablespoons of goat cheese, or half an avocado. So apart from being annoying, these leftover bits tend to end up getting wasted as they hide in the fridge. So when I was a young food scientist learning how to develop new breakfast cereals, I learned a really important lesson. I always try to round the ingredient. Always try to round the ingredients in your formula, which I always found it funny that in food factories we talked about formulas, not recipes. I was taught to always try and round to the nearest lot or pack size. This made it much easier and quicker for the factory workers to just use, say, 3 bags of flour rather than fiddling around with measuring out, 86.335 kilos of flour. It also meant that there wouldn't be random partially used bags floating around the factory. So this practical lesson has stayed with me all these years later. Anyway, you may have noticed that, but for most of my recipes, I try and keep leftover ingredients to a minimum. It's just a natural part of my simple cooking philosophy. However, there will be times when you do find yourself with leftover ingredients. So here are three tricks to help you minimize waste. So the first one is to avoid leftover ingredients in the first place. So this is my first port of call. Leftover ingredients altogether. So often the easiest way is to either skip the ingredient, or if skipping that ingredient isn't an option, I look to use up all of the ingredient at once. So if I'd use the whole bunch of herbs instead of the half bunch called for in the recipe. So you get the idea. You don't want to ruin the outcome, but oftentimes you can easily scale up and it's not a problem. Then my second trick is to store the leftovers correctly. So general rule of thumb is, I'm going to keep banging on about this, the cooler temperatures are best for most fresh ingredients. So keep them in the fridge for starters. And then after temperature, moisture loss is the biggest destroyer of fresh ingredients. So make sure they're protected. I tend to sell my produce in plastic bags in the crisper section of the fridge. And then my third trick there is to try some mise en place, which is what this class is all about, so you'll be all over it by now. But if you know you aren't going to be able to use an ingredient, there's always a way to pre-prepare it so that it will last. There's always something you can do. For example, half a bunch of basil can be turned into a tasty pesto. Or if you don't have much time, you could just pop the basil leaves in a jar and cover with olive oil for a quick basil oil that will last for weeks rather than for days. So you get the idea. So moving on, now we're going to look at 11 clever ideas for leftover meals. So number one, take a break. So having the same leftovers for more than one meal in a row can make even the most unadventurous eater get a little tired. But a break of even just one day can make them seem new again. So most things will keep for a week in the fridge and much longer in the freezer. So don't feel pressured into eating all the leftovers before moving on to other dishes. Then number two, freeze some. So if you've got way more than you could possibly eat in a week, be sure to freeze at least some of your leftovers. It's amazing how a few weeks spell in the freezer can make something totally old seem fun and new again. Most things, with the exception of raw veg dishes or salads, freeze well. So if in doubt, give it a try. Number three, share the love. So either take the leftovers to work to share with your colleagues, or invite some friends over for dinner. No need to tell them that they're doing you a favor by eating up your leftovers. And actually, I remember when I was single, I used to pack a leftover care package to give to my guests, especially for leftover desserts, so I wouldn't be stuck eating the same thing for weeks. And it really made a difference. So then we've got number four, try a leafy leftover salad. So all I do here is just make a classic green salad and turn it into a meal by scattering over your leftovers that have been chopped into bite-sized pieces if needed. It works with either cold leftovers, or you can warm up the leftovers like I would have with that leftover curry in the picture there, for a lovely warm salad that I've just served with kale. Then number five, try a leftover and legume salad. So if you've got some leftovers but not quite enough to make a whole meal out of them, you can give them a little, like, to think of it as stretch, by tossing some warm leftovers through cooked or canned lentils or beans. So in that picture, they were using some butter beans, a handful of some fresh leaves, some herbs, or some finely sliced celery, or I've got cabbage in that picture there, can freshen it all up. Then number six, the leftover sandwich or wrap. So the Earl of Sandwich was onto a good thing. Most things do taste better between two slices of bread. Just don't forget to add something fresh and something saucy to keep it moist. And if you're following a slow carb diet, or you're trying to steer clear of gluten, or you're paleo, you can apply the same rule, but just use it, a lettuce wrap or cabbage leaves as your wrap. Then number seven, the leftover toasty. So without the fabulous invention that is the toasted sandwich maker, I would have starved to death during college. It never ceased to amaze me how a practically inedible meal could be turned into a tasty delight by popping it in a toasty. The addition of a good melting cheese shouldn't be overlooked either. Then number eight, the leftover soup. This is a huge one for me during the winter. So all you need to do is bring a few cups of water, tomato puree, or stock to the simmer, then add your leftovers that have been chopped up into bite-sized pieces, and you've instantly got a divine warming soup. Number nine, the leftover baked frittata. So leftover cooked vegetables, legumes, starches, protein, herbs, and even cheese can all go into making the most divine baked frittata. Use the recipe as a link in the written notes as a base and get creative. Then number 10, change the nationality of your dish. So this can be tricky with strongly flavored dishes like curries, but for more European style recipes, a change in nationality can make all the difference. For example, a pot of leftover beans could have curry powder added and served with yogurt and fresh coriander or cilantro to become an Indian curry. A little coconut milk and Thai curry paste and you have a smiling Thai, almost native. If you'd like to discover more on this, this idea of changing the nationality, check out module 5 of Master Your Meal Plan, where we discuss different flavor profile templates and common flavor pairings to give you, a heap of ideas on how to go about doing that. Then finally, number 11, try serving with a different side try serving your leftovers with a different side or accompaniment. So take an example from a classic sauce of minced meat or ground beef and garlic and tomatoes. Add spaghetti and a generous sprinkling of parmesan and it becomes a bolognese. But if you take the same meat sauce and serve it over corn chips and melt some cheese on top, add a splodge of sour cream and it becomes nachos. Or serve on a baked potato and it takes on an Irish vibe. So there's always, you can take the elements and serve them in different ways and it can really make a huge difference. Okay, so now we're going to look at a summary meal plan. I just wanted to give you a quick tour of the meal plan. There was one, a more wintry one in module 4. So if it's winter where you are, probably best to check back into module 4. So each meal plan comes with, there's five meals ideas for dinners. So, Monday through Friday, so kind of weeknight meals, and then one sweet treat that you can opt into. So each comes with, there's variations to suit, if you're vegetarian or if you particularly like meat or if you need to make it, more substantial if you're feeding someone who's particularly hungry, like my brother. And also, ideas for if you're short on time or if you're paleo, you need to be gluten-free. And there's links there to each of the recipe pages. Then there's a shopping list, which is broken down into different categories. So we've got veggies, protein, dairy, and pantry items. And then each item on the shopping list has a number next to it, and that refers to which meal it's used in. So we're using lemons a lot in this meal plan. So if you decide that you're not going to make, number two, which was our pesto chicken, it's easier to just go through and edit the shopping list and just cross out. You can just go through and cross out all the number twos. So it's just really there to make it easier for you to customize for yourself. And then these little pluses and hashes, there's some cook's notes down below the shopping list. So, that are just giving you suggestions of options of other things that you could do or other ingredients you could use. So that's worth checking out as well. Then there's a page of mise en place possibilities. So if you wanted to do things ahead, it's just a kind of one page summary for this meal plan for that week. You know, what your options are, what you could do ahead if you chose to, don't necessarily have to. Then there's a page on ingredient storage, which I haven't completed yet, so there's nothing to see there. But there will be, when you look at the meal plan, actual for each ingredient, just some tips on the best way to store it to make sure it lasts as long as possible. And then there'll be downloads as well. So when you see it, these links will be live. So there'll be two options. You can either download a full color meal plan as a PDF, so you can have it on your smartphone or your tablet, or there's a print friendly option if you wanted to print it. Probably best to go for that one. It doesn't have any pretty pictures in it. And super important, just a quick note there to, if you haven't already, really encourage you to grab Adobe Reader, which is free program for reading PDFs, and it really makes your PDF experience so much better. Allows you to edit and just makes it much more user friendly. So they've got options for your computer or different mobile devices. So you can just follow the links there to get Adobe Reader on whichever suits you best. And then we'll head back to our slides. Great. So now, just before we go, we'll just go through your actions for this module. So really encourage you to keep going along with your mise en place. I really want to ingrain that as something that you do, every week or whatever, timing suits you, but keep going with that. And then on top of that, encourage you to give one of the meal plans a try if you're interested. So you just step one would be to review the meal plan, download and print it, or open it in Adobe Reader as we discussed. Then edit the shopping list to suit your preferences. So if you only want to make two of the meals or four of the meals, you can do that quite easily. Then get your ingredients and follow the plan. And then really encourage you to share your results in either the comments below or on the individual recipe pages. Or if you have a photo, we'd really love to see them. You can share them on the SVCS Facebook page. And up next is the webinar. So depending on when you watch this video, it'll either be coming up or you'll be able to go to the webinar page and follow the links to watch the recording. So really encourage you to do that. And I hope you've enjoyed. Bye.